You're listening to WBH Radio. I'm your host, William Holly. Thanks for joining me here on episode number 35. We are here at the beautiful campus of Brooklyn College. The students finally came back to school and allowed us in these great facilities.
Welcome back.
Now that they're back in school, hopefully I can start banging out these episodes with a little bit more frequency. Because I'll be taking hiatus like a freaking Dr. Dre album.
Last album was The Chronic.
That is the voice of my man, Fenton Tania. Fent!
What's up?
Man, I appreciate you being here, man.
Thanks for having me.
For sure. My man, 100 grand. I want to ask you about Labor Day last weekend. I know you are full-blooded Trini. How was it, man?
It was a good time. We had good weather, good people around, and my family came in town. So, you know, we enjoyed the festivities and the activities and the culture that surrounded Labor Day weekend in New York, you know. So it was a good time, you know. A lot of fun, a lot of lighthearted activities.
Yo, you trying to trick my audience with this, yo. I had family in town. Like, when people say, oh, I got family in town, you would think, okay, they had the grandparents, the aunts and uncles. They had a nice dinner, the kids running around playing. No. When Fenton means he has family, he mean he had a couple cousins in town, and them boys was in the streets like some mercenaries, tearing up the streets.
Hey, man, we had to get to place A to B, so we had to be in the streets, man. We had a good time, though.
It wasn't family festivities.
My auntie was in town.
It was some not-safe-for-work activities going down. But I'm glad to have you here, man, on episode number 35. Episode number 35, I think we just going to title it Antonio Brown.
Sheesh.
Antonio Brown, period. That's it right there.
Come out hot out the gates, huh?
Yes, sir. We were going to come in here and poke some fun at some of his activities of late, getting cut from the Raiders, then signing with the Patriots. He had helmet issues, feet issues. But it seems that he got himself in some serious trouble. So, we could jump into that real quick. He was accused of sexual assault by a former college classmate of his, a woman that worked as his trainer for some time. First and foremost, my stance on issues like this remains the same, no matter what it is. I truly believe in people being innocent until proven guilty. I believe that no matter what the situation is, right, no matter if it's inconvenient, right, no matter what the crime is, I believe that's where America, I believe that's where our society separates ourselves from places in the world like North Korea, where Kim Jong-un is a dictator, or in Cuba, where Fidel Castro and his guys do what they want. Right, I believe in situations like this, even when it's unpopular, that's what America shows is devotion to liberty and justice. So for me, I have no problem with Antonio Brown still being on the field while this plays out in court. Now, as for the accuser, I see people trying to discredit her because she's claiming she was assaulted multiple times over a 2 to 3 year period. I don't think that's cause to discredit her, right? In 2019, we got to be a little smarter. We got to be a little bit more compassionate. We've seen enough cases where victims have acted irrationally, continue to go back, especially in a world where we as men have oppressed women for some time. If this young lady is looking to make it in the world as a sports trainer, They just get up and keep going. So I don't discredit her because she's saying I got attacked and I still came back to work for the man. That doesn't take away from her claim. It's possible that she was really assaulted. But what I did want to address, and I've seen people kind of crushing her online because she's pursuing Antonio Brown in civil court only. So she's after monetary reparations. She's not trying to put him in prison, right? It's not a criminal case. So, Fenton, I want to ask you, when you see a situation like this where an accuser is claiming some serious crimes, sexual assault, violating her personal space and her body, yet she's only going after money. We've seen it with Michael Jackson, too. People have said he's done all type of crazy things, but they've only gone after him civilly. Fenn, what do you see? What do you believe? What do you think when you see a situation like that?
Well, I don't know I don't have all the facts and all the evidence that is going to come out in this case. So there's going to be a lot of things that still need to be shed light on. So the circumstances is a little murky. And I'm not sure why exactly she's just going about it this route.
I mean, does it pass the smell test? Just give it to me raw. Does it pass the smell test? As you sit back and you think like, dang, what do you say when you see, dang, she's just going after him civilly and not criminally?
Oof, it looks bad. I'm not going to lie. It looks bad. But usually this type of situation, the accuser takes the accusee to court for criminal charges. And then afterwards, that's when they hit it with the civil suit and, you know, situation gets dealt with there. I've never seen this situation like this in this instance where it's strictly civil. For like a woman to be accused of somebody of sexual assault, it's kind of crazy that they're only going after him now in the civil matter. So it's a little weird. I'm always going to play devil's advocate, but it's a little weird. I don't know where she's going with this. Maybe there's a criminal suit to follow and run simultaneously. Who knows? But right now she's going to get that back.
I want to say that I totally understand it. I totally understand why a woman would go after a man just for the money at this point. We know that sexual assault is something that people are going to have to, the victim is going to have to live with the scars of that crime for the rest of their life. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely.
Every time they close their eyes, they have to envision what went down, how they were violated. So that's going to be a problem for the rest of her life. Whether that man is free, if he's in jail, if he's on death row. So that's a problem she's going to deal with for the rest of her life. Another problem many of us deal with is wondering where our next meal is going to come from. Right? That's going to be an issue for us for the rest of our life. So if you had those two problems, the least you could do is solve one and get some money in restitution, right? So I'm going to be dealing with the trauma of sexual assault, the scars of that crime for the rest of my life. Whether he's in jail, whether he walks free, he plays football, he doesn't play football, I'm going to be dealing with that for the rest of my life. So the least thing I could do is get some money and eliminate my issues of finding a meal, having a roof over my head. The least I can do is get some money. So I want to say I understand that part of what's going on. And she should not be discredited for that. Now, people will say, well, if he's really someone who is capable of performing heinous acts like I think he was accused of ejaculating on her back without her knowing, while she was just sitting down watching TV. If he truly is that person, he needs to be in jail so he doesn't hurt anyone else. Well, if I'm the victim in this situation, it's okay to be selfish at this point, right? Like, it's okay to just want to take care of yourself and not worry about what he could do to another woman. So I don't really have much in that situation. Like I said, I believe Antonio Brown is innocent until proven guilty, but I just wanted to speak about the victim for a second. Because it happened multiple times over a course of a couple years, she should not be discredited. Because she is seeking monetary compensation, she should not be discredited for that.
You're absolutely right. And I didn't think about it till recently, until right now, actually, till you mentioned it. Imagine you've lived through this trauma. You've been dealing with this for over a year because the last incident happened in 2018. The statute of limitations is still going, so she could go and still file a criminal suit. But imagine you have to deal with this all your life, and you try to put it in the back of your mind.
Right.
And this man is on TV on every network all day long. Talk. It looks like, oh man, he's doing some foolishness. He just lost $30 million. The next day he gets $35 million. You're like, nah, I'm going to get my money.
Right.
So I can see it like, okay, you know what? I'm not going to deal with this trauma by myself anymore. I'm going to try to get something to compensate myself for the suffering that I had to go through. So I get it, but oof, it doesn't look too good for her right now in the streets, man. The court of public opinion is killing her right now.
They are. I wanted to ask you, Fenton, because it seems the Patriots are going to let him play. Antonio Brown practiced with the Patriots the last 2 days. Fenton, I want to ask you. In February, the Patriots owner, Robert Kraft, was caught, I guess, getting a hand job in a massage parlor in Florida, and he was accused of soliciting prostitution. What role does Robert Kraft being arrested for that crime, what role does that play in the Patriots' decision to keep Antonio Brown on the field?
It shouldn't have any, because those situations are two situations that are isolated. So, and then Robert Kraft situation played out in the court.
Hold on. No, the role in the what role does the Patriots, Robert Kraft being arrested, play in them keeping Antonio Brown on the field? You say none?
None at all. It's the same situation. Guilty and proven, until proven innocent until proven guilty. So they have to wait till everything comes out, all the evidence is put forward, and then you make a decision. Right now, the NFL hasn't declared him ineligible, so he's still good to go. Until the NFL says he's not good, he's good. Right now, the Patriots have no reason to pull him off the field because it's allegations right now. It's not a matter of fact.
Maybe I didn't ask the question correctly. Robert Kraft being arrested in February, and him being adamant that he was innocent, that he didn't commit a crime, I think has everything to do with why they choose to let that player play, even though he's being accused of sexual assault. Because it is the same situation as Robert Kraft. Right? Robert Kraft stood firm and was like, listen, give me my day in court. So it would be hypocritical of them to pull Antonio Brown off the field, a man who's claiming to be innocent.
I hear what you're saying, but the situations are different because Robert Kraft was facing criminal charges. This Antonio Brown is facing a civil lawsuit. Right now, the NFL has 2,000 players, how much other players? You don't know how many of them facing civil lawsuits. Somebody's a business owner. Somebody slipped and fell in their restaurant.
I'm talking about the Patriots' decision, not the league. The Patriots' decision to keep him on the field.
People get sued left and right every day. So the situation, it has some similarities, but it's different.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Robert Kraft was facing criminal charges. Robert Kraft's freedom was in jeopardy. Antonio Brown's purse is in jeopardy. So right now, it's a little different, but I get what you're saying.
Right.
Robert Kraft's like, nah. They try to get me. Yeah. I got you, Antonio. Yeah. I'm going to hold you down.
Yeah.
But it's parallels there, but you know what I mean? Brown went left, Kraft went right. So now we try to figure out. There's a fork in the road here.
I think that played in Antonio Brown's favor. Like, yo, the owner was just on trial for some crazy stuff, and y'all backed him. Do the same for me. So I think that played in his favor. And I think that's why we haven't heard anything from Robert Kraft. What can he say?
He can't say nothing.
He can't say anything. Exactly.
Because just last week, it was him. So, yeah, he can't put his face out there. He can't put his neck out there. So you're absolutely right about that one. I can't even fight you on that one.
He can't say anything, man. So to sum up that portion, Antonio Brown, in my opinion, innocent until proven guilty. The accuser, she should not be discredited at all for the route that she's choosing to go after him in the civil suit and for still sticking around after claiming to have been assaulted multiple times. Now, let's move on to the field of play, man. Antonio Brown, I think he's an a-hole. I think he's arrogant. I think he's selfish. He doesn't care about anybody but himself.
You naming every top wide receiver in the NFL.
He's a diva. He's a baby. And last week, he made me a big fan. I must admit, man, because the whole world hates him. First, Finn, tell me, why did everybody hate Antonio Brown? He had the helmet issue with the Raiders. The Raiders cut him. Now he's a Patriot. Right? A lot of different things happen in between that we get into. But just overall, why do people hate him? Stephen A. called him a buffoon. Shannon Sharpe was on top of him. What did he do to warrant all of that backlash?
And like I said, the court of public opinion, man. These people hold sports like church, you know. So when you go against the good book, the good word of sports,
How'd he go against it? What'd he do?
He wasn't a team guy. He was being me. And nobody wants to say it. And behind closed doors, everybody's me. But when you put yourself out there, look, this is who I'm going to be. I'm going to be me. Everybody wants to have an opinion about that. So the talking head's going to talk. But he did look crazy.
Hold on, how?
How?
Which part? Give me one piece. One piece that he looked crazy.
The helmet issue.
All right, let's go. Thank you.
The league already said 2018 starting this season is a done. It's a done deal. Everybody has to conform. All
right, let's go back to the beginning. Let's go. So let's go step by step, because I think he has been misunderstood. Right, he is an a-hole. He is a jackhole. He's selfish. He don't care about anybody. But I think in this situation, he's been misunderstood, and people have miscommunicated to him. So, Fenn, let me ask you, did you watch Hard Knocks this season?
I did not.
Okay, Hard Knocks is a show that follows an NFL team each season during their preseason. This year, it just happened to be the Oakland Raiders.
Timing is everything.
HBO, you hit the fucking jackpot because you had a fucking front row seat to all of the drama that was going on with the Raiders and Antonio Brown. Way to freaking go. So, I watched every episode. It's about 4 or 5.
It's only 4 or 5?
They stick around with them for 4 weeks or so. And they give you like 4 or 5 episodes. Antonio Brown, from the beginning, he was a malcontent because he had an issue with the NFL trying to take away his helmet because they deemed it was no longer safe, right? The NFL is trying to protect the players, and they wanted to take Antonio Brown's helmet and make him wear another one. Antonio Brown and his team said, no, please don't take this helmet. I've been wearing it for 10 years.
Safety first.
First off, I was impressed that they wearing the same helmet for 10 years. I had no idea.
That was crazy.
That was crazy to me.
This money they get, and I thought they threw helmets away after games.
For real. So I was floored. Like, oh, snap. So right there, he gets credibility from me. 10 years, it matters to him, right? It means something. Now, Antonio Brown is one of the best receivers in the league. And I don't know how the hell that happens. He's 5'10", right? Some of the best wide receivers, Julio Jones, 6'3". Michael Thomas of the Saints is 6'3". He's 5'10", yet he's one of the best receivers in the league. So, for him, he probably needs every advantage that is possible, being a miniature guy. So, he says the newer helmets limit his vision. I'm with him on that.
You can't say no to that, because that's also his safety is in jeopardy too, being on the football field.
But yo, he's trying to feed his family. If he's running routes and he relies on his vision to turn around and catch the ball, which gives him an edge because he's a shorter receiver, if he needs every bit of piece of that advantage to continue to feed his family, I had no issue with it.
You can't feed your family if your head's getting knocked off.
Okay, no, he went through the proper channels, and he was trying to – he filed the grievance, right? Because let me tell you, when I played college basketball, I wasn't a pure shooter, right? So we might get to the gym late for a game and we can't warm up. I don't care. But to the shooters who – that's really their craft, it mattered to them. So to a miniature receiver who's relying on everything, his quickness, his speed, his vision – to continue to feed his family, I have no issue with him putting up a fight to continue to keep his helmet. So you want to call him a crybaby? I had no issue. He's been with that helmet since he came in the league. That ain't a crybaby to me. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, they had to give up their helmets too. But guess what? Their game ain't predicated on the same things that his is. Their game is their mind, their arm.
Their vision.
But they didn't say it blocked their vision. Only for him. Now, so I don't have an issue with that. Now, when I'm watching Hard Knocks, every time, like Antonio Brown, he never really practiced with the team. He seemed to be off doing his own thing, right? Working out on his own. He's not in the team practices. But why? Is it because of the helmet? But while he's having a helmet issue, he also has a foot issue.
That's why he wasn't practicing with the team.
But listen, it was ambiguous. Nobody ever told us why. He had a foot issue because he went into a cryotherapy chamber without shoes, and his feet got all blistered up. It was nasty. He He said it was painful. I'd believe him because it looked painful.
It looked crazy.
So, Fenn, as a fan watching the show, it's ambiguous why he's not practicing. Is it the helmet? Is it the feet? They're both happening simultaneously. The Raiders never made it clear. ESPN and all their reporting, Adam Schefter, Chris Martin, nobody ever made it clear why he's not practicing. Right?
It came out later.
So how do the Raiders then turn around and fine him for not practicing? You never told us why he's not practicing. And I'm sure that wasn't communicated with him. The Raiders, they would always say in Antonio Brown's face on the show, man, brother, we can't wait to get you out there, but we're behind you. And he would say, you know what, coach? I thank you for being behind me in this process. But when he wasn't in the room, John Gruden would, has anybody seen 8-4? Man, it would be great to get him on. Has anybody seen 84?
Made for TV, man.
But when Antonio Brown was in their presence, it was slapping each other on the back. Man, you're a great receiver. When you get out there, you're going to kill it. Hold on. That's not the same tone you had when he's not in the room. Communicate to him. Communicate. If you want to say, hey, yo, dog, we behind you, but you know you got to pay the price for missing practice. They never informed him of exactly what was going on. So when it came down the line that they fined him and he went to social media highly upset, I understood it.
The last fine was even crazier because it came out that he was told to sit out that practice. He was told to not come to that. The last fine.
Right.
He was told to not come to that practice, and then he got hit with the fine. That was the craziest thing to me to make me second guess all the information that was coming out.
What part so far that we discussed did he make a misstep? He was holding on to his helmet that he had for 10 years that he relies on giving him an advantage as a 5'2 receiver, right? A 5'10 receiver, right? The helmet issue. His feet were messed up, yet he was still working out on his own, still trying to be in shape for his team, right? And then they hit him with a fine. They blindsided him with a fine. Which part did he act out? Did he not do the right thing? Was he not a team guy? Which part exactly thus far?
Damn, when you lay it out there like that, you got me convinced now. Free AB?
Exactly, son. So he was misunderstood through that whole process. And this is where I lament the fact that there's the white boys running the show and the black athletes. That shows a cultural difference. Because I told you, when AB was in the room, John Gruden, hey, man, we love you, man. We can't wait to have you out there. We got your back, man. But when he wasn't in the room, where the freak is 84? When's he going to get on the field? Right? That communication gap. If you're unhappy with his absence, please tell him. All a man wants is authenticity. Tell him. Then don't blindside him with fines when it's time to. He's like, hold on. Every time I saw y'all said y'all back me.
Yeah, it was crazy. And now when you look at it, how things played out in the media with AB from his departure from Pittsburgh to him signing with the Raiders and then his whole preseason and training camp, it made him look bad. It made him look questionable. And now when you lay it out there and more information comes out, we have more evidence to kind of show that he is misunderstood. Right. But he is, from all reports, that people that work with him on a daily basis, they say that he is the selfish me type of guy.
He is. But you can't claim that in this situation. Okay, we move on. We talk about the fine. The Raiders fined him.
Twice.
Right? And you know what happened with that fine? That fine was filed under conduct detrimental to the team. So with that fine, the Raiders had the opportunity to pull the $30 million guaranteed. So essentially, he was going to be playing week to week.
Basically catch to catch, man.
They took away his $30 million. So people say, yo, he's an asshole because he wanted out of Oakland. Get me out of Oakland. If you take away my guaranteed money in a violent sport, physically grueling, and this is the way I feed my family, you just took away $30 million. Get me out of here.
And he came in hurt. His feet was damaged. So he coming in hurt. So
again, Fenn, I still don't see where he acted out. The Raiders in this situation were the team that acted dishonorably. They smiled in his face, literally, and then they stabbed him in the back. And when he saw that, what he did was he exercised his leverage and said, get me the hell out of here. Fent, I got no issue with him thus far.
You know what's even crazier is the media is picking up all the negative pub and putting that out there and pushing that in the news stream.
Right.
But what came out when he published information on his own, AB took it upon himself to put out the fines. AB put out that video with his coach's voice in the background.
Yes.
And everybody's like, oh, look at AB. He's being detrimental. He's being a non-content. He's being everything negative they were saying about him.
Right.
The coach okayed that sound for the video.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yep.
Crazy. So it just makes you just, it points the light, it shows a light on how perception
shapes everything.
Exactly.
And that's dangerous, right? You got all of these media figures, but they all sound like one voice, right? I started this off by saying, yo, AB's selfish. He's an a-hole. He only care about himself. Yes, that is his reputation, but we got to call a spade. In this situation, nah. In this situation, I believe he acted honorably and did what was best for
himself.
For himself, but he was trying to be a team guy. The Raiders just piled on.
Yeah, he came back with a tearful apology in front of the cameras with the captains behind him, and then they caught him.
You can't take my $30 million after you smiled in my face.
That's crazy. I mean, it just goes to show, and nobody's pushing the story out there that they okayed the video. Nobody's putting the story out there that they told him to sit out that practice when they find him the second time.
Right.
That information is not coming out there. It made me think also that since that the Raiders cut him and he signed with the Patriots, they probably knew about this civil suit in the works, and she was a former employer, AB. AB is a former employer of the Raiders. Maybe there was going to be some type of deal where it would have worked out, where the young lady would have got paid, NDAs would have been signed, and everything would have been done. AB's no longer on the Raiders. Sorry, young lady, we can't pay you. Go get your money however you see fit. And now, all of a sudden, a day after he signs with New England, 2 days later, civil suit filed in federal court.
That is an interesting theory.
You know what I mean? All the negative press that was coming out, it felt like it was coming from the Raiders camp.
Mm-hmm.
AB was putting out the truth. He looked crazy. He looked away. The media pointed him out or made him shape him to be some type of character. But it's nasty out here what they doing, man.
That's an interesting theory. Now, moving forward, I want to ask you, how are things going to work with the Patriots? Because he signed with the Patriots. He signed for 1 year, $15 million. He got a $9 million signing bonus. I think they put a player option for a second year for $20 million.
Jeez.
But a lot of people are saying, oh, he's not going to fit in with the Patriots way because it's all about team over there. It's all about hard work. It's all about putting the uniform first. And that's not the things that AB stands for. I want to ask you, how do you think it's going to pan out for him in New England?
Remember the last former Raider that got cut from the Raiders and went to play for the Patriots? They went 16-0.
Who was that? Randy Moss.
The GOAT, my guy. You've got Moss, yes. So, and everybody described Randy Moss similar to AB. He's selfish. He's a diva wide receiver. He's all about him. He takes plays off. He doesn't practice. He just down the third. He comes over to New England and the Patriots and had the most touchdown receptions for a receiver in NFL history.
Right.
He gave Tom Brady his best statistical career year ever.
Right.
None of his years match up to the year that he had Randy Moss. Unfortunately, he ran into the buzzsaws as the New York football Giants.
Right.
My man Eli had to shut him down, but, you know, they had a good year. I think it just doesn't make sense or doesn't seem feasible that they can't go out in the field and produce. Tom Brady is the GOAT. I don't care what nobody says. He's the best quarterback that anyone's ever seen play football, and he has weapons. Like, he could go in his garage, like, I got the Porsche today, I got the Lambo today, I got the Mercedes today. That's what he has when he looks on the field right now. So I can't wait for them to, if they put it together, if he gets on the field.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't think there's any way that this does not work. Antonio Brown's one of the best receivers in the league. The New England Patriots are one of the smartest franchises out there. They are going to make the most of their weapons. And as Fenton mentioned, the last time they got a shiny new toy by the name of Randy Moss,
jeez,
they looked like they had a video game offense. And it's a testament to great leadership in the New England Patriots franchise that they're able to have pieces like Randy Moss and Antonio Brown come in, right, and the rest of the league consider them damaged goods, and they shine with the Patriots. That's because the Patriots have their leadership in place. We want Antonio Brown to come in and be a wide receiver. That's it. Well, you know, he's not really a leader. Well, we don't need him to be that. We just need him to run really fast and catch the ball. Right? When these franchises claim, oh, AB's not a leader, that's because in Pittsburgh, your quarterback is someone who has been accused of sexual assault two different occasions, right?
He's not even the leader himself.
You don't ask you, and AB is telling you who he is. Great organizations, leaders, winners, they put their team in a position to succeed. You ain't got to worry about anything else. Just show up and catch the ball. We got you. Right? So I think there's no way that this can't work. They only asking him to do the things that he's good at. And these franchises that are not strong enough, not ran well enough to have players like that in their building and succeed, I think it's unfortunate because the player always gets the brunt of that. Well, he's not X, Y, and Z. But that don't matter. He's showing you what his skill sets are. If you're a good organization, you will put that player in a position to be successful. And the Patriots have done it time and time. In the NBA, the San Antonio Spurs have done it time and time. I remember Danny Green was on his way out the league. He got to freaking San Antonio. Man, almost won a Finals MVP. So
can't hit a three after that, though.
I look forward to seeing Antonio Brown. Hopefully, he makes it to the field on Sunday. Now, Fent.
Yep.
Let's stay with the NFL. Yo, recently a superstar opted to say goodbye to the league, and that's the Indianapolis Colts quarterback Andrew Luck. I think he's 29 years old. He said, I'm done. He said it just hurts too much. The rehab, the trying to climb back from injuries is just too much. And I'm calling it quits. Fent, you got a 29-year-old quarterback, somebody many people believe was destined for the Hall of Fame, somebody people said might have passed on $200 million by retiring. What do you make of that situation?
Football hurts, man. Getting hit by 300-pound dudes coming at you 20 miles per hour, that hurts. And I don't fault them for retiring. Everybody's free to do whatever they want. But I just don't understand the hoopla and all the bright, all the expectations. He had more expectation than anyone that I've ever seen before. He had more quote-unquote talent.
I'm
not trying to knock the guy.
He's
but
good.
Like,
he's good.
Like, no, I'm not saying he's bad. Like, you didn't let me finish. I'm not saying he's bad. But football hurts. So right. If I'm not out there winning championships every year, if my team is not going above and beyond and, like, the 1 year that he played, the team was almost in the Super Bowl. Then the year he couldn't play, they were terrible. That's right. To show you the type of team that he has around him. So if it's just me dragging around all these bums, I'm sorry, man. My back is going to start hurting after a certain point. And I'm going to just be like, you know what? I just got $20 million. My knees hurt. My back hurt. My shoulder hurt. I'm looking behind me. I'm like, I got to carry you guys around again for another season. I'm out of here. So, yeah, I don't fault him for retiring at all because, like I said, football hurts, man. Look at Gronkowski. He just retired the other day. Mm. The prime of his career. He could have stayed with the Patriots and won championship. Imagine Gronk on this team with AB. Forget about it. So, shout out to Andrew Luck and the career that he could have had. Shout out for him and the career he did have. And shout out for him for getting his bag and walking away from football.
Yeah.
Not broken.
When I saw that come down on the newswire, I was extremely happy for him, man. I was extremely happy and excited that he got from under that brutal sport that is football. You know, and I was trying to put myself in a position mentally, like what he must have been going through. This is somebody who has enjoyed football forever, for his whole life. You know, he was a great quarterback at Stanford. He's been playing for so long.
His pops was a quarterback.
His pops was an NFL quarterback. It just, for him to be able to come to that decision, man, it must have took some soul searching, some tough nights, confiding in your loved ones, thinking on your own. So for him to be able to walk away from all that, especially in an environment where sports are so celebrated, for him to say, you know what, I'll pass on that, showed me a different level of strength from him. And honestly, I wish I would see it from some more athletes, specifically the black athlete. Because so many times we hear them express being somewhat slaves, and they just always under somebody's thumb, and they got to get to the bag, and this. No, there's a whole other life out there that you can go live, and Andrew Luck is showing you that, right? And I could only assume that he saw the path that his father took, and that led to him being able to come to this decision and feel confident that there is a life outside of sports. Yo, Fenn, I come up here all the time and I talk about how I hate being in buildings. When I've worked with professionals team, New York Rangers, the New York Yankees, when I worked at Brooklyn College, I hate being in a building and looking at a leader and saying, this person is subpar. Well, in my short sports management career, one of the smartest people I've ever come across is Oliver Luck, which is Andrew Luck's dad. Well, he was working at the NCAA office. He was like the head legal guy. And I said, wow, this is an impressive dude. So if Andrew Luck grew up under his tutelage, I can see why he sees, man, I could have greener pastures outside of sports. Because Andrew Luck's dad is Oliver Luck. He played just 5 years.
Career backup.
In the NFL, right? He ain't make $100 million.
Nah, buddy.
But let me tell you what he did. His dad, Oliver Luck, after the NFL career, he went to law school. After law school, he helped start a team, the Houston Dynamos, in the MLS. That's a soccer league. The real football. Outside of doing that, he went on to be the athletic director at his alma mater, West Virginia. He did that for some years. Then his son gets drafted to the Indianapolis Colts. You know what he did? He said, I'll take a job at the NCAA. You know where the NCAA headquarters are? Indianapolis.
Following the bat.
So when I saw him in that building, I said, wow, this is really the American dream. Oliver Luck is working in Indianapolis, probably making $200,000. And every Sunday, he could walk down the street and watch his son play in the NFL stadium.
In the booth.
That's really winning. That's something money can't buy. And now, he is currently the CEO of the XFL, the league Vince McMahon is putting together, the new football league that's starting next year. Oliver Luck is a smart dude. He ain't make $100 million in football. So I'm sure Andrew Luck is looking at that template. Like, yo, dog, I just pocket $90 million. I could go live a life. 2 years ago when Andrew Luck was injured, they said he couldn't throw a Nerf football. Hold on, you 25 years old in the prime of your life, you can't throw a Nerf football? How much money are you supposed to endure, right? How much money are you willing to take to be at 30 years old and you can't throw a Nerf football with your son? Andrew Luck said, get me the hell out of here. Ain't, you can't put a price on that. And I'm just so proud of him and happy for him that he reached that level of what I want to call freedom.
He was saved by his wife and his new baby. Because they was like, She was like, you're not doing this no more.
Yeah.
I can't stay up all night with you rubbing icy hot on your back.
Yeah, man. I wish more players would do it, man. Like you, yo, I got, well, it's the money, man. Pusha T said it. Ask Steve Jobs, money can't buy health. Fenn, let me ask you, did you see the last this most recent Dave Chappelle stand up?
Sticks and Stones?
Yeah.
It was cool.
one part that had me laughing is Dave Chappelle, he said poor is a mentality.
His father told him that.
Yeah, his pops told him poor is a mentality. You're not poor, son. You're broke. And I think there are so many athletes, especially black ones, that have the mentality of being poor. Yo, I just got to get more money and more money. Dog.
They went from having none to getting some. So all they trying to do is get more.
And they in that hamster wheel. If you made $50 million or $5 million, you should be okay to go out and live your life. Right? You don't always have to be in the hamster wheel. I need more money, more money, more money. Cam Newton done take a beat in his whole career. Dog, you got enough. Go live your life. What you chasing right now? Oh, I just love the game. Do you see Cam Newton's press conferences now? Does he look like he loved the game still? No, they enslaved themselves. They have a poor mentality. Yo, and they have a poor mentality because they come to the fucking press conference with ball mane and this. I got to show you I got money. Nah, if you rich, dog, your mind is rich. So Andrew Luck just laid the blueprint. Get your bag. You played it. You gave it all you got. Now I'm out. Because, again, I think he's seen it from his daddy in that building. His daddy, 5-year career, he flipped that into CEO of the XFL, AD at West Virginia, top legal guy in the NCAA. So for these guys that want to continue to keep playing and banging their head against the wall, oh, I got $100 million. I need $120. You poor mentally.
I mean, you got to look at the circumstances that some of these athletes are coming from. Not everybody's coming from a situation of fortune.
Fair, $5 million is enough to go to the top.
I'm not saying fair, no.
Hold on.
I'm not, as a gambler, give me $5 million, of course I'm going to turn it up. But, like, that's me. That's not dumb.
So what I'm saying is I have zero sympathy when these guys make 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, and they still talk about being enslaved.
I'm not saying have sympathy for them. I'm just saying they say, all right, this is an easy opportunity for me to use my body while I can to make more money. That's just, they're using the tools that they have and the situation, the circumstances.
And stop copping, please, for them, man. I'm just saying. Stop copping, please.
Get this money, man.
Congratulations to Andrew Luck, man. Enjoy
Shout out
your
to
life.
Luck.
Go in the freaking backyard and play sports with your son all day, man. Like,
I think
enjoy.
He had a daughter.
Oh, shit. Her, too. But, yo, fam, what's up with your man Odell Beckham Jr.?
Cleveland, I'm not mad anymore. They shipped him off to Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns wide receiver. He wore a $190,000 watch on a football field. Fam, your thoughts?
Jeez, that's an expensive watch. But my thoughts is, so what? The people wearing gold chains, people are wearing gold teeth, earrings on the football field. So what? So what?
Let me tell you. When I first saw it, you know what I do now is, I make it a point to pump the brakes when I see young people doing things. Like before, I used to jump the gun, like, oh, these people crazy. I have to be considerate that they're in a different climate than when I grew up. So I said, okay, let me see. I said, you know what? That dude probably out there getting money.
He's not getting paid for that.
I'm like, you know, he probably got a crazy sponsorship. Social media is blowing up. Everybody's talking about it. So I get to reading. He's not even an endorser for that brand. So he just gave them millions of dollars of publicity for free.
Somebody's about to send him a royalty check.
I'm like, similar to what these black folks did with that damn Popeye's chicken sandwich. Like, y'all motherfuckers.
It wasn't just black people, man. That's everybody. Because I still ain't get a chicken sandwich. So that means everybody and their mother ate that chicken sandwich.
But yo, fam, why would you promote? You know it was going to be the talk of the town. So I couldn't even give him the benefit of the doubt. He got a check out of it. Why would you give them free promotion?
That I'm not sure. That was my first thought, too. Like, oh, man, he probably got
a bag,
crazy
that,
check.
The
for
whole
that.
World was watching. Like, yo, it's clear as day. He got an orange watch on playing football. Like, oh, shit.
But you know what's even crazier? At that same Sunday, Rafa Nadal, the tennis player at the U.S. Open, was wearing the same manufacturer's watch.
Right.
An $800,000 one.
Right.
But he's a sponsor. Yeah, he paid that money. He probably got one of those for him, one for his wife, one for his mom.
So I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, but there's no reason to. Forget what the NFL says. You know you're a brand. Don't get that stuff away for free.
It matches uniform.
dog, do not give your value away for free. That's my biggest issue. We didn't even get to the NFL yet. Do not give your value away for free.
Yeah, nobody could have told me he was doing that for free. Nobody could have told me he was doing that for free. I was so disappointed, son.
You know how much that was worth? Social media. Everybody got fucking whatever the brand, Richard Mille or whatever it is, in their mouth now because of him.
Maybe he is getting paid. Maybe he just, this is the Jedi mind trick. See, he got us. He got us. Now we're talking about it too. Now all your listeners are going to go out and look for that brand watch. They're going to Google it. It's going to, more clicks, more eyes on the product. I don't know if my audience
could afford it.
I mean, maybe look at it online.
Maybe if we all put it together, put our money together, we get one and share it. But
I got Friday.
But then on top of that, the NFL says, yo, it's a uniform violation because it could hurt somebody. It could cut somebody.
You can't have hard objects.
And Odell Beckham says, yo, I'm going to continue to wear it. And he's like, oh, if it was somebody else, they wouldn't say a thing. Come on, dude. A watch? Nobody's ever worn a watch in a football game. I get when people say, yo, they picking on you. But this is not the instance for that.
Yeah. I mean, pick your battles, dude. This wasn't the one for it. But NFL players have worn watches at games before. They're just, everything he does is going to be more magnified. I mean, the player, I think it was in the 70s when the dude wore a watch, so it doesn't even matter. And then they're saying it's an issue of hard objects.
Yes.
I guess, dude, that's a uniform policy violation, hard objects. My man said, yo, the watch is plastic.
All right. But actually,
his pads are harder than the watch.
True. He did bring up a knee brace. He's like, knee braces are harder than my watch. And now that you mention it, I do remember there was a black kicker that always wore a watch. So, I don't know, but
Odell got the Jedi mind trick on us, man. Get your bag.
Going back to my Andrew Luck story, like the Odell Beckham doesn't look happy.
He's playing in Cleveland, man. He's coming from New York when they could have done something big, and they shipped him off to Cleveland.
He didn't look happy in New York, man. You just got $50 million. Go live your life.
He was doing that.
Go live your life.
He was doing that in Paris with a white pottery substance and pizza, and they're trying to give him a hard time, but he can't do nothing.
Like, just go live your life, man.
Play football, man. Get your money, man. Have a good time.
Go live your life.
Stay off social media.
Did you hear what happened to the Jets quarterback?
Oh, buddy. He's a young guy, man. He's probably out in the city having a good time, you know? I don't know what happened. The Jets quarterback,
he's going to miss some games because he has what's called
mononucleosis, a kissing disease,
which can be transferred by saliva. The symptoms are extreme fatigue. Also, like, his spleen can be swollen, and if he gets hit, his spleen could rupture, like some serious stuff, but mainly fatigue. That's embarrassing as hell, son.
The crazy thing is it happens to people every day.
Every day.
But being that he's in the position that he's in, of course, it's going to be magnified. It's unfortunate because a young man
living his life in New York City,
having a good time. Mm. Who knows how to happen? He could have been at a restaurant and, you know, maybe they didn't wash the cup well. Who knows how it happened? But it happened to him. And being that he's a quarterback of an NFL team, in New York. So it's over. I couldn't do nothing but laugh when I saw it. But I'm just like, damn, homie. And I like this guy, man. He has a little upside to him.
But I
want to
ask you,
well.
I had this question going back to Kevin Durant's injury, when they were talking about it's a calf injury, it's a this injury. Why is it important that the fans know exactly what a player's injury is? If I go in the hospital right now, and my grandfather's there, and I want to know what happened to him, they're going to ask, well, are you his spouse? Are you his son? Like, I'm going to have to jump through 10 different hoops to understand what's going on. Why? Because somebody's a professional athlete, do we have to know the medical reasons? There's HIPAA laws. I don't understand that.
I'm going to tell you why.
Please do, because honestly, I do not understand. And I want to say this. One of my first jobs in sports was with the New York Rangers Hockey Club. Do you know in hockey how they report injuries?
They don't.
In hockey, they say upper body, lower body.
He's hurt somewhere.
Yeah, see him in 2 weeks. Why do I have to know Sam Darnold fucking was kissing somebody and now he's missing games? Fed, tell me.
Well, the majority of the public doesn't bet on hockey games. So
stop.
This is why injury reports come out when they do prior to the game starting. It's just for betting interest.
Fed, the length of the I don't dispute that. The length of his time away, cool. He's gonna be away for 4 weeks. Why do I need to know why?
So now the bet makers, the odds makers, could adjust the line and the points shares for each game.
Why
for
do
the next
I need
four weeks?
To know what exactly is wrong with him? That is his personal information.
Well, that I'm not sure why they're sharing that with people, but I'm just telling you why injury reports are out there for the betting public. That's
for sure.
It.
For sure.
And the odds makers. That's all that's about.
But why do I need to know exactly? There's no reason.
They could have just said he was sick.
That's
man.
It.
Stomach ache. Yeah. They had to embarrass my man like that. Y'all
for the rest
looking
of his
crazy.
Life.
Y'all looking, and then they're going to kill him. When he comes back, they're going to kill him. Yeah. They're going to kill him. Every D lineman is coming. Every play, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill
Yo,
him.
Yo, you stupid.
I'm telling you. What did you do that?
Yo,
psychological advantage helps,
sure.
too.
There's, and this, again, there's no amount of money that can cure that. Oh, no, nah, let me not use cure. That can remedy? Damn, I can't use that, too. Like, that can comfort him.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life. Yo, you the just caught the one that got mono? Oh, shit. Damn, son.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they publicized that, but they got to do what they got to do.
Like, was she cute at least? Like, look. That's crazy, son. Like, you don't. I feel sorry for these kids. Like, I don't envy them at all.
Nah.
I do not envy them.
Not
That's
football
nuts.
Players.
That's nuts. What if he was kissing his mistress and I was main joint? Oh, gosh.
Oof. I wasn't even thinking about that. You know, I'm a one woman kind of man, so I don't think in those terms.
Of course, man. But
shout out, baby.
The Jets can't get a break. Now, how about them Cowboys?
Cowboys? We Giants fans, man. Scratch this. Next topic. Nah.
Before we get on the field, though, the Cowboys recently signed their running back, Ezekiel Elliott.
The number two running back behind my man Saquon.
But he got paid as the best running back in the league. 6 years, $90 million, $50 million guaranteed. Now, all the people I trust because these football contracts, you can never understand them. They're like a mirage. But people I trust say, yo, Will, this is a bad contract for the Cowboys. Ezekiel Elliott was going to be with the team for the next 2 years. They didn't have to do this. One of the reasons for it being expedited is Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys.
The owner, the GM, and the president.
Is 76 years old.
Oof.
And he wants to see his team win another Super Bowl before he dies. He ain't really concerned about the long-term health of the franchise and his cap flexibility, 5-6. I want to see these boys win now. And I was like, damn, fam, you can't help but understand, like, that's a human element.
One life to live, right? He can't see them winning in the afterlife. He can't pay Zeke when he goes, so he got to pay him now. Which, it didn't make sense for the Cowboys to pay him because they had him on the books for 2 years. Right. And then they could have hit him with the franchise tag for 2 or 3 more years.
Yeah.
So they could have pretty much been paying him the next 6 years. The same amount of money, so
right.
It didn't make sense. But to appease the player and bring him back, that of course that's why they did it, because he wasn't coming without a contract, so he says.
Yeah.
We don't know if he had that kind of clout or the money to stay away from the game. So, shout out to Zeke for getting his bag, man. But thank you even more because you're gonna get my man Saquon an even bigger bag. Let's go Giants.
But listen, with the human element, Jerry Jones is like, yo, I just want to see this team. Y'all can burn it down after I die. Like I don't care. How do you feel as a fan? That's the fans that are invested, that are buying season ticket packages for 5, 10 years. Tradition has been passed down in their family. They want to see the team be successful throughout. And Jerry might have just sunk the ship. He might have just mortgaged the future for now.
Well, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. They're going to play out right. They play the Giants, and unfortunately, my team ain't that great. So they look impressive this Sunday that they just played. But who's to know that it might be a good thing for them? How you know Zeke doesn't go crazy this year, crazy next year? And when he was a free agent, they would have probably had to pay him more. Who knows what would have happened? So securing the player now and locking him into this price market now, it could be beneficial to them in the long run. Maybe they win a championship because everybody's paid to get the team together. Who knows what's going to happen?
But I just think as a public, as fan, how much we're at the mercy of one sole individual in these owners. They can do whatever the hell they want. I look at some of the staff directories of some of these professional teams. Why does everybody have the same last name as the owner?
If I had a team, you ain't going to hire me?
Of course. It's just their little toys, right? This is just their Picasso.
That's a side business, yeah. That's not their main money.
But it's unfortunate that they're doing it with the public's money, the public's space and these stadiums and everything.
That's why I don't pay money to go to sporting events.
And that's one of the things I saw when I traveled overseas. Germany has a soccer league called Bundesliga.
Bundesliga.
And in that league, the fans, in the form of shareholders, they have to own 51% of the team. So there's no private investing in those sports teams. So essentially, the fan runs the club. And it's phenomenal. You won't see decisions like this that may be incongruent with the long-term health of the fan or the team. Right? And again, that's another example of them doing better than us abroad. And Germany Bundesliga has the largest support in terms of attendance, more so than the Premier League. And they're rather healthy.
That's interesting. But there's an NFL franchise that's like that, the Green Bay Packers.
Right.
But we know they don't do the same thing. They ain't doing the same
thing.
But I wonder if that German league and those German teams, the public who has 51% interest in the teams, do they have say or input in decision-making?
They vote for the person they want to make decisions.
Okay, so then it's up to that person to make the right decision.
But they still have some form of say-so, right? It's not just Jerry Jones fucking shooting from the hip.
Jerry Jones bought that team with his money, though.
I don't give a damn. That's fucked up, man.
21, 24, something like that?
That's messed up. Like, yo, y'all niggas win the Super Bowl before I go in the grave.
Why not? One life to live, man. Shout out Jerry Jones, man.
Word. Now, this upcoming weekend, Fent, you know, week one is in the books. What are you looking forward to from this NFL weekend?
This upcoming weekend, I want to see the Deshaun Watson play again. Course, Monday Night Football was spectacular. That's one of the best games I've ever seen in my life. So I want to see him play again, see if he could replicate what he did last Monday.
Even in a losing effort against the Houston Texans versus the Saints.
One of the best games I've ever seen
in my life. He was phenomenal. So who they got this weekend?
I want to see a couple other things happen this weekend.
You don't know, but it's all good. But you know what?
It's week two, man. The season ain't start yet.
I'm going to tell you what I want to see this weekend. I want to see if the Baltimore Ravens are for real. They scored 59 points.
Lightning Jackson, of course.
They scored 59 points.
Oof,
now,
that was impressive.
If anybody knows the history of the Ravens, it's been built on defense. Going back to Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, right? Terrell Suggs was carrying the flag for a long time. So if they are going to be an offensive power, they're going to be a problem, man. And you know what was funny about the 59 points? Because prior to that game, their quarterback said, I think this might be the best offense you guys have seen. Now, people say stuff like that all the time.
Got to.
Right, so we just wrote it off. I remember it was a topic on PTI. They laughed them out the freaking off the screen.
But they had every right to, because prior to this Sunday, he played an NFL football game and went 2 hours without completing a pass.
Absolutely. So, it's not just the 59 points alone. It's the 59 points combined with his statement of, yo, we about to be the best offense you ever seen, man. When you combine that, you got to pay attention. Like, oh, Lamar Jackson was in practice and he believed that we have something special. And then they went out on Sunday and they performed. So it's not just the performance alone. It's the performance combined with what he said. And it wasn't just, I guess, hyperbole.
He went out and did what he had to do. He backed up his words. But all things considered, he played the Miami Dolphins, and Miami is terrible.
He was speaking confidently. So, again, I want to see how they look this week, if they could duplicate that. Not 59 points, but proficient offense. And you mentioned Deshaun Watson. I'm talking about Lamar Jackson. Two black quarterbacks.
Money Mahomes.
Who have the threat of running But also, they have the air game. They can pass, specifically with Deshaun Watson. I don't think we have seen the heights of what a black quarterback can be. Right? Michael Vick, electrifying. He never really had the air attack. He never really taught. Michael Vick has an arm.
Don't ever disrespect my man Vick, man.
Michael Vick has an arm.
Cannon.
But did he have the IQ to dissect the defense? Deshaun Watson seems to have that. Lamar Jackson had that on Sunday. Cam Newton is a mega talent. But does he have the IQ to put together a drive the way Deshaun Watson did the other day with his back against the wall, minimal
tackle, launched it, and then got killed? Oof, that's a thing of beauty.
That was amazing, right? Cam Newton and these guys have kind of started what the black quarterback can be. And I think Deshaun Watson and Lamar Jackson might be the
Showtime Mahomes.
Might be the next evolution. He too light's going to be black.
he your twin brother, man. He got yellow boys.
But listen, though, son, for real, because Cam Newton, in my opinion, is a disappointment. So is Jameis Winston. Man.
Jameis is just overhyped, and he had a lot of talent for where he was playing in college. And then he was making the pro moves, the pro decisions, but he's in the big boy league now, and he can't show up.
You know what? You know why they're a disappointment? Because they give you spurts of greatness, but they cannot be consistent. And consistency is the one sole quality of greatness.
There's a lot of quarterbacks that come in the league and aren't consistent.
Tom Brady's the same every year. Aaron Rodgers. Why can Cam Newton be a mega talent, get him to the Super Bowl, and then this past Sunday, he ain't throw a touchdown, fam?
When was the last time Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl? Yeah, he's regarded as the best. I know what you're trying to say, but, like, stop trying to throw dirt on the black quarterbacks. The quarterback position is probably the toughest position in all of sports to play.
Cam Newton's a disappointment. That's all I'm saying. And Deshaun Watson, hopefully he takes us to new heights, being able to do it every Sunday, right? Being able to do it year in and year out.
He ain't going
to
do that if they don't protect
because
him.
Because when somebody says you're talented, that should be disrespect. Cam Newton's a talent. But he ain't got the brains to put it together. That's ultimately what they're saying. Well, he got the physical ability, but he can't put it together every Sunday like Brady. And hopefully Deshaun Watson is the first piece to that puzzle. Because honestly, the black quarterback has been a disappointment. With all the physical attributes, they haven't combined the mental part to the game. They haven't combined the threat of running with the air assault. You saw on Sunday, Lamar Jackson, when every time the defense kind of stacked the box and they were trying to stop the run, he knifed them with the pass. Cam Newton ain't give us that.
Cam Newton was the MVP of the league, man.
Yeah, one time.
And he got hurt the next season. What you want him to do?
He's been healthy more times than not. We haven't, again, this past Sunday, he ain't throw a freaking touchdown, man. I want to talk some basketball. Fan, you know, you watch the Big Three League at all?
No. This season, I didn't catch it this season. But I did watch it last season, though. I caught my man Sharif Abdul-Rahim light them up. And I was like, this guy is 40 what? And he's doing what?
Do you know who the MVP was this year in the Big Three League?
I mean, it was hard to miss, man. My man Cool Joe was killing him out there. Hit the game winner to win the chip, right?
Yeah. LeBron was in the building, too. Joe Johnson, former NBA pro. He played in Ice Cube's Big Three League. He was the regular season MVP. He led his team to the championship. He was the championship game MVP. In summation, he's a freaking bucket.
Walking 20 points.
Now, after that success, he received workouts with some NBA teams. He worked out for the New York Nets. He worked out for the Brooklyn Nets, excuse me. He worked out for the Milwaukee Bucks.
I'm surprised he didn't go there.
He worked out for the Philadelphia 76ers, and he worked out for the Detroit Pistons, and today he signed with the Detroit Pistons.
Shout out to Cool Joe.
Now, everybody is celebrating this. Wow, man, Joe's back in the league. It's the first time somebody from the Big Three went back in the league. This is great. Teams got him in the building for a workout. But to me, it just frustrates me, and it highlights how unimpressive the leadership in the NBA is. Because Joe Johnson has been a walking bucket his whole life. He last played in the NBA 2017 because teams thought he was washed up. No. You guys just didn't know how to use him. You guys are just followers. Just because you see him now performing, he always could have done that.
Or look at Jamal Crawford still out there giving buckets.
Right, he always could have done that. It's your lack of creativity. It's you just following the trend. I guess he's over. But now you've seen him killing on another platform. Everybody's running and scrambling to get him. He's always been that player. You guys just aren't smart enough to realize that. And it frustrates me that these are the people making decisions. And in my opinion, it's the same thing that's happening with Melo. One person thought Melo was done. Now the whole, it's like groupthink. Everybody thinks Melo was done. You don't think Melo would go destroy the Big Three league as well?
What? 40 a night.
So, Finn, I lament the fact all the time that there's subpar leadership. And the Joe Johnson case, to me, highlights that. Joe Johnson had a piece in the Undefeated. He said, dog, I wasn't trying to get back in the NBA. I was just hooping. You know what I'm saying? Like, he ain't trying to give you guys, oh, yeah, I've really been working on my body and my skills have gotten better. No, nigga, I've been a bucket. Like, y'all motherfuckers just ain't realize.
That's sad, man. But, like, it doesn't – what you're saying now has always been the case. Michael Jordan went third in the draft. You know what I mean? So, like,
true.
Talent evaluation is hard. And then you expect older players to decline. So, to a certain degree, you can't fault them for being, all right, you know what? He's older. And he wasn't getting minutes, too. So, that's another thing. If you can't see them playing on the big stage, you're not going to know what their talent is. Right. Maybe in practice, he wasn't showing up. Maybe he didn't have the energy or the ability in practice. Maybe he's a gamer. When the whistle blows, he's ready to go. I don't know.
You don't know that. Yo, listen. Shout out to my man Fat Cat. Shout out to my brother-in-law Steve. Anybody that knows, when I was playing 2K, Joe Johnson was a monster, son. He's 6'7 with a handle and a jump shot. That doesn't go away. Okay? So these freaking fools. Oh, snap. You saw what he did in the Big Three. Let's bring him back. When some of you guys had him in your building.
But look at the organization. It's just a
lack of creativity, man. It's a lack of engineering. People are such followers, and it's scary. It's so scary. And Melo is a casualty of that. And it frustrates me. People say LeBron needs to get Melo a roster spot. LeBron shouldn't have to jump in and get Melo a roster spot. Melo should get in on his own volition because he's one of the top 400 players in the world.
By far.
It's sad, Melo. And y'all wonder why I keep coming up here yelling, please, get your own leagues, man. You got all these freaking nerds and pencil neck motherfuckers with pocket protectors making decisions. Don't know a thing about the game.
And it's just like, you know, the media plays a big role in it too, the public perception, what they're putting out there.
Absolutely.
So the Melo lost his spot about a month in, 10 games or whatever have you, right, from Houston. And he claims it's not a basketball decision. Right. But he wasn't looking great. Let's be honest. In Houston, he wasn't looking great. But I know the season just started. Like, Melo still had the baby fat from the summer. You know what I mean? Melo don't get busy until December. All-star break. Oh, all-star game coming up. Ah, they're not voting me in. All right, I'm going to show y'all 30 a night for the next couple weeks. So I get it. You know what I mean? So it's just, like you said, he's a casualty of groupthink. It's just, free my man Melo, man.
Let me ask you, because I believe in accountability. You know, I like to shine, look in the mirror first and foremost. What role did Carmelo play in putting himself in the situation he's in now?
Maybe not being productive, or maybe not coming into the season in shape. Mm. You know, because his first, he didn't look good in his first 10 games. And he didn't, the offense, it's an ISO offense in Houston. I don't care what they say. It is an ISO offense in Houston, and Melo was playing that role, but his shots wasn't going in.
You know what? Where I fought Melo? I fought Melo for chasing a freaking championship.
Isn't that why you play the game?
No. You play the game to be the best version of yourself.
To win a championship.
You play the game to be, to chase greatness. You play the game to feed your family. And if in that journey you win a championship, it's a bonus. Case in point. And I might have said this on this podcast. I believe I did. Carmelo Anthony chose to join the Houston Rockets with head coach Mike D'Antoni, a man he's had issue with in New York. Why would you, when we talk about our first story, Antonio Brown, we talk about the accuser going back multiple times. Melo, why would you go to be under that man's guidance again when you know he's not a big fan of your game? Why? Because the media put pressure on you because you don't have a championship? You should have stayed your ass in Atlanta, where they traded you to, and got busy.
He would have still been in the league.
Still been in the league.
He should have stayed in OKC.
Fenton, and again, this is where these outsiders come in, these MIT grads and these people who don't know anything about the game. You let those members of the media come in and influence you and talk down in your career because you don't have a championship. No. You play the game to pursue greatness. I don't care what you think of AI. He ain't got a chance. AI's one of the realest. Because I done seen him slay dragons. Did it equate to a championship? No. Right? But so what? Melo, you allowed yourself to be victim to this environment. You went back to Mike D'Antoni. That was a disaster from the beginning. They was going to scapegoat you.
I mean, he had his mans on the team. Chris Paul, one of his A1s.
And they got one. Chris Paul the hell out of there, too.
That was all the GM. The same dude that got Melo out the door. It's crazy when you look back at it. And like, I wouldn't have gone back to D'Antoni's system, right? Because Melo was not a guy for D'Antoni's system. He's not a running gun.
Right.
Melo is throw it in the high block, easy jab and jumper.
But Fenton, let me ask you as a fan, son, somebody that knows ball, are these guys less than to you because they don't win a championship?
No, absolutely not.
So you allowed yourself to be influenced also. Don't you play to win a championship? No.
I mean, at the end of the day, what are you playing for?
To be the best version of yourself.
And still, you want that chip. You want to hold it up at the end at the end of the day.
No, because if that was the case, they will all collude, make minimum salary, and all the stars on playing one team and win 10 championships. No. I want to play. I want to compete. I want to contribute. And hopefully, in that process, I will have won a championship. I played 4 years of college basketball. I celebrated 2 city championships. Those years are no different to me than the years I didn't win a championship. Because at the end of the day, I laid my head on my pillow and I gave everything I had. I pushed myself to limits I didn't know I could reach. I accomplished things I didn't know I could accomplish. And honestly, not even on some corny, that's the chip. That's the journey. That's the payoff.
I get it. My man Melo wanted that Larry O'Brien.
And to confirm that, you look at Kevin Durant. He just celebrated 2 champions. He's miserable. He was like, yo, this what I left OKC for? This what I came over here and endured Draymond Green's disrespect for? Just so these guys behind the mic can say, can you do it again? Can you do it again?
Can you do it again, KD? You're in Brooklyn now. Bring it home, baby. I'm glad you're doing it with Kyrie, but bring it home, KD.
It's crazy, man. Like, Melo, son, you should have Atlanta and light up. Light up.
And matter of fact, was one of Joe Johnson's last stops?
Nah, it was one of his first stops. One of his last stops was Utah and Houston.
He went back. Oh, yeah, it was Utah.
Utah and Houston. Last one. I think it was Houston, actually. But, that frustrates me, Melo, because you only succumb into the environment. And now it breaks my heart that every day he's on IG showing new versions of his game, like an IG model. Ooh.
You looking like a thot out there?
Look at this jump shot. Ooh, look at that fadeaway. Look at that jab step. Like,
Melo said thirst drop.
Yo, that shit break my heart, fat. Like, yo.
I'm glad I'm not on social media, man. Oh, man. I'll probably be killing him.
Yo, that shit.
Melo's my guy, man. Free Melo, man.
Free Melo, son. Like, dead ass. It hurt. Like, I ain't even going to front. Like, this stuff is starting to take away from my enjoyment consuming sports. When I see coaches that are there because they're friends with the owner. When I see players out of the league because they're not on the in crowd. Right? When I see Melo and them running to chase championships, dog, you a king. You a king. Y'all leaving money on the table to get this freaking championship. Damian Lillard was on Joe Budden's podcast the other day. Joe Budden was making fun of him. He's like, yo, you sound like a super duper max. And honestly, he did. He saw some max that like 250. And he said, I was eligible for it because I ain't switched teams. These motherfuckers switching teams for fucking some jewelry. Like, nah, I'm staying here. I got my money. I feed my son. I'm balling outrageous. This is my gym. And if we win a chip, great. Don't sell your soul for a chip, man.
Yo, Mello, man. Golden State needed three, man. What's up?
Shit crazy, man.
Shit crazy. Golden State can use a three, man. What's up?
Shit crazy, man. But there is some basketball going on right now.
Basketball stop.
And that's this FIBA World Cup.
FIBA what?
The USA is out.
That's what I'm saying. Basketball stop.
But the Greece team is out also. And the Greece team has Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek Freak.
Shout out Greek Freak.
They are no longer in the tournament. And the Greek Freak has actually struggled in this tournament. Right? The Greek Freak just came off the best season of his career. He was named most valuable player of the NBA. And here he is on the world stage. He's struggling. Fenn, what do you make of that?
If you can't shoot, you might as well not even play basketball, man.
But he just won the MVP in the NBA. What are you talking about?
In the regular season. In the playoffs, a guy half his size locked him up. Come here, Greek Freak. What are you bringing up? No. Come here. Locked him up.
He lost to the eventual NBA champions. I don't think there's any shame in that.
No. I'm not saying there is any shame in that. Right. But like I said, his weakness is always going to succumb to. His inability to hit the jump shot. He's always going to succumb to that. Because you could, in the international ball, you could zone him to death. You could fall back, clog the middle. And that's where he makes his money, in the paint. You can't shoot, you can't win.
I think it highlights bigger problems. I don't think it's just specific to him. Here we are. We have the Greek Freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo. He was the best player in the NBA. Right? The NBA is supposed to be the world's greatest league. His struggles in international competition, what that means to me is that the world has caught up. The world has caught up in the sport of basketball. Right, the NBA was once viewed as the cream of the crop. Everybody in there is top notch. I don't think that's the case anymore.
I want to say pump your brakes.
Hold on. I don't think that's the case anymore. There are guys who can ball outside of the U.S. They choose to stay home. Right? They not run into the NBA. There are players outside of the league that are good. Case in point. Nikola Mirotic, who has been a career NBA player, he just passed on the NBA, said, I'm going to play with Barcelona. So his spot in the NBA now goes to a player that wouldn't have been in there the year before. Mirotic is a career NBA player, and he's passing on that league, which, again, buffers my point. Man for man, it's not the greatest anymore. We have the best players. I don't think there's anybody better than Kawhi Leonard in the world. I don't think there's anybody better than LeBron James in the world. But man to man, top to bottom, I don't think it is the elite league it once was. There are players around the world who can play just as well. They choose to stay at the crib with their family, with their grandma, with their mother. I'm good over here.
Top to bottom, man to man?
Nah.
15-man roster in every team in every league?
Nah.
That's hard to say,
so
man.
The Greek Freak is struggling on the world. He just showed you, I dominated the NBA.
And he struggled in the playoffs.
He struggled in FIBA. So what that tells me is the NBA, to some degree, is a bit inferior.
To the internationals?
Yeah. I don't think you could bring an NBA team and beat Brazil. I don't think you could bring one single NBA team and beat the best of Brazil or the best of Spain. No.
I would say maybe not Spain, maybe not Serbia, because they have a greater collection of NBA players on those teams.
Right.
But what? I take Detroit anywhere.
How can you dominate the league? But you, this FIBA, the NBA is supposed to prepare you for the best. It's not anymore. Right? There are great players around the world. Again, my point with Mirotic buffers that. Also, what did tells me the Greek Freak struggling in international competition. It tells me that players, they don't really know how to play basketball anymore. Like I'm a sound like the old man. The NBA brand of basketball is horrible. It's shovel the ball to the star and give them 50 opportunities to score. They don't know how to play within the system anymore. They don't know how to get it out the mud, as I would say. Giannis Antetokounmpo, you should be able to dominate on the glass.
Yeah, his numbers was terrible.
His numbers was terrible. In the NBA, when they force feed you the ball, you can go get 20 points. But in international competition, when everybody is playing as a unit, you don't know how to get yours. And that's something I'm seeing on the AAU circuits in America. These kids, they only know how to play one-on-one. They don't know how to play within the team concept. I'll tell you a story. When I was playing at Junior College, Kingsborough Community College, my freshman year, my man Derrison Anthony, shout out to DA in the truck. He was our leading scorer. He made a lot of plays for us. He initiated the offense. We get to the championship game. You know, I have a mismatch. The team says, yo, Will, we want to run through you. I look at DA. I'm like, yo, DA, but how you going to get yours? He like, nigga, don't worry. Just go.
Shout out to DA. Whatever.
He like, nigga, I'm going to get mine. Like, you ain't got to run a play for me. I know how to hoop. I know how to go get it off the glass. I know how to rebound, push in the transition. I know how to come up a screen and catch it. You don't have to force feed me the ball for me to be successful. And these kids don't understand that anymore. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, just I couldn't believe it.
I mean, it could be the lack of point guard play in the team. Like, in most leagues, I don't care top to bottom, no matter what you say, your guard play matters.
He's the most athletic, strongest dude. He should have 20 rebounds.
He should have.
And in my last point of what his struggles really pointed out to me, the NBA's officiating is biased.
Oh, definitely. That's not news.
That's horrible.
You're not breaking no news.
In FIBA international competition, you ain't getting. There's no such thing as a star call. In the NBA, Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to the rim, blow the whistle.
Terrible.
Who's going to the rim? Oh, it's not a star? Oh, let him play on. And the announcers and everybody, we all know this, and I'm always amazed at how comfortable they are with saying that. Oh, you know, he got the star call. Oh, that's LeBron James. You got to blow the whistle. No, it should be. It don't matter who's going to the rim. If it's a foul call, if it's not, keep playing. So without the support of the NBA-friendly whistle, he didn't thrive.
I mean, that's how the game progressed. It's gotten to the point where it's nasty now, where no matter what James Harden does, he gets a foul call. But, I mean, this ain't news, man. But
it's horrible.
It's not looking good, man. Greek Freak, get a jump shot. Holler at me.
It's not good. Not good, man. We about to get out of here. One last thing I wanted to cover.
What you got?
You know I am studying for my doctorate. And like
Dr. Holly,
we're global sport leadership. So I try to, I guess, put myself in the shoes of an athletic director and see how I would handle situations. And something interesting came up the other day. A school in Ohio called Kent State. They canceled a women's field hockey game. Let me start over. They didn't cancel it. The game was taking place. They just walked on the field and said, yo, you ladies got to go. Game over.
And double OT was about to start.
They ended the game prematurely because they needed that space to let off a pregame fireworks show for a football game that was about to take place. So, again, these ladies, college Division I ladies, are playing field hockey. The Kent State officials walk on the field and say, listen, y'all got to wrap this up. We got a Kent State football game going on, and we want to get these fireworks cracking. And the fire marshal says we need this space clear in order to do so.
And it was also at a neighboring field, so it wasn't even on the field of play.
Fenn,
you?
You're the athletic director of this school.
Kent State?
Yes.
Thanks for the title.
Yeah, man.
Send it back, too.
Probably a nice six figures. You got these fireworks display that you need to get off for this football game. And the fire marshal says, hey, we need that field clear for safety.
safety first.
How do you handle the situation?
Well, full disclosure, the Kent State athletic director did inform the players.
Oh, Fenton Tania.
No. Full disclosure. You gotta paint the full picture.
Yo, time out. Is that a law thing that you always start copping, please?
You gotta give the full disclosure. I need full discovery.
Just give me an opinion.
When I first saw the headline, I'm like, oh, the headline was crazy.
Fenton, stop
the
telling me.
The headline was crazy.
Listen, it looked terrible. Start over.
Full disclosure. Tell us.
Start over. The athletic director is not reading the headline. Fenton, let's give you all the facts. Fenton is the athletic director of Kent State. It's essentially homecoming weekend. You have a football game that's getting ready to take place. You have a fireworks display that you have set to go off.
Pre-game fireworks display.
The fire marshal says, hey, you see that field over there? We need that clear for safety reasons. That field that those Division I girls are playing field hockey, we need it clear if you want to let these fireworks off. How do you handle that, Mr. Athletic Director, Fenton Tania, Kent State, six figures? How do you handle that? Please.
You can have a conversation with the fire marshal. Time out
with the fire marshal. Yo, if you ever came in contact with the fire department, they don't give a F. Like, safety first. So this ain't a biased thing. I'm letting them off the hook. If you ever had a fire, they coming in and they destroying your house. They putting out the fire and they saying deuces. Like, damn, did you really have to break my grandmother's vase? Yes.
Safety first.
They don't care about anything, dog. Y'all clean up the mess. So you cannot talk to the fire marshal. They lay down the ground rules. This is what it's going to take. What are you going to do?
With that being said, the fire marshal came and said, clear the field. You got to clear the field.
Fenton, those young ladies are Division I athletes. They're playing a game. This game matters.
Fire marshal said clear the field. Clear the field.
Is canceling the fireworks an option?
We paid for that.
No, keep going.
And like I said, big money, football game, no money, field hockey.
Right.
When have you ever been in a situation where big money didn't win? All right? So, like, Kent State wouldn't be able to host. These are two teams that they're hosting. This is not a Kent State game. Kent State are hosting these teams to accommodate these teams and have a field hockey game. So if Kent State football program wasn't pulling in the money, they wouldn't have a neighboring field to play this game on. That probably was a practice squad field. That wasn't even the football field.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So, like, big money, sorry.
Nah, I'm with you, Fent. I'm with you.
But lay out the facts. Full disclosure.
The field hockey game, it was not Kent State's team playing, right? It was like a holiday tournament. Kent State, their girls had played early in the day. They invited these two teams, the University of Maine and Temple. They were playing double overtime.
And they were informed that the game had to end at a certain time prior to the game.
Okay. And, you know, one of the team's coaches said, well, this is just where we're at with female sports, you know, kind of playing the Me Too card. The role of, they just dismissed us because we are female athletics. I don't think that's the case. I think America's biggest crime is not sexism or racism. It's its devotion to capitalism. As Fenton mentioned, I think that was just a money move.
Big money always wins.
The football team is raking in the dough. These fans have paid money to tailgate, to buy tickets, to buy paraphernalia, and they are here because they want to see a fireworks display. I believe that has to go off.
Big money.
You know, big bank takes little bank.
Always.
And it's being played as a sexist issue, and I do not think that is the case. It's unfortunate, but you know my thing with leadership, the number one thing with leadership is you're going to have to make tough decisions. You're going to have to say unpopular things. And the athletic director came out the next day and he said, I wish we would have made a different decision.
Yeah, they try to walk it back.
And I think that's just public relations, because what is the other decision? Somebody's going to have to be disappointed.
That's a fact. Like I said, maybe there's a conversation they could have had with the fire people. Like, yo, we're going to let this off late. Y'all going to cut this overtime into 2 minutes instead of five. Big bank takes little bank, so there was nothing they could have done. You know what I mean? They probably didn't foresee the game going into double overtime. Right. They had extra wiggle room for overtime. They were going into double overtime.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, I can't fault that athletic director for canceling the game.
Right.
Because they were on the clock.
And you see people on Twitter, oh, gosh, Kent State, they don't value women's athletics. It's easy to highlight that, but when you point that out, you got to give me your solution. And I don't know if there is one. And I think that is the battle with America. Which game are we playing? Are we playing the capitalist game or are we playing the humanitarian game where everything is equal? Because if you're doing that, like Bernie Sanders would appreciate your vote.
Public perception, man. That's it. But perception shapes reality.
This athletic director is judged based off of his athletic department being financially sound, raking in dough. You got to go with the money.
Big bank take little bank, right?
You know, so.
It's crazy. Like I said, the headline made it look so crazy. And I had to read two stories to actually dig in to find out. Because the first story I read was just a headline, just a ticker. So then I had to go to a CNN article to find out the full disclosure and all the facts. And I was like, there was nothing these girls could have done besides pack up their bags, shake hands, and call. And nobody lost. There was no winners or losers. It was a non-contest. They called it an exhibition
game. They made
a
scrimmage, yeah.
Yeah, so like, they're going to play this game, rematch another time. Best man takes the game, and that's the end of it. You know what I mean? So yeah. You know what they could do? Sell tickets to the rematch because, like, oh, this is the Kent State cancel game. You know what I mean? Make some money off of this. Do something positive. You know what I mean? Take a negative to a positive, and it's all good. Shout out to Biggie.
Yo, you stupid on that one, man. I think that's a wrap on that. Fan, I appreciate you, man.
Cheer.
WBH Radio, I'm Way on Hollywood, out.